And I think it's all over. I think that's it. I think that all you're going to hear and see is just repetition from here on out on all of the communist news networks. You're just going to see it played over and over and over and over again to whip you up into this frenzy to where you want revenge and you think you know who did it. And, well, you know. I mean, my goodness, everybody listening was here, you know, for Waco, Ruby Ridge, the Oklahoma City bombing. Good afternoon, you're on the air.
Hi, Bill, it's Alan.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Just reporting that you're on the frequency of 17.495, and in another...
Wait a minute, let me write that down. So we're not on 7.415.
Well, you were, and we kind of preempted you accidentally for another programmer, Jim Cederstrom's Financial Survival 2000, but... In about, well, exactly at 5 o'clock Eastern, which is in 12 minutes from now, you will be back on 7415.
Okay, what are we on now?
All right, you're on 17.495, but only till 5 p.m. Eastern. That's only for another 12 minutes.
Okay.
And then, so at 5 p.m., you're going to be back on 7415, and we'll keep you on 7415 as long as you... you know, want to stay on the air.
Okay.
So that's what's going on here.
Thank you, Al. What do you think about what's happened today?
Well, being a New Yorker and being someone who has been to the World Trade Center numerous times, once with my father, knowing that a lot of people died, seeing the images on television, I'm shocked, I'm frightened, I'm really saddened that any horrible, evil coward out there would elicit such a heinous, hideous, satanic act. And, you know, my greatest personal fear is really what you've been talking about, is I hope that as Americans, when something like this happens, yeah, we have to get together and we have to realize that it has been an attack on our system and our freedom and our rights, our freedom to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, our freedoms to live and work peaceably in a law-abiding country. And it just scares me, and I hope that we band together as free Americans and that we uphold all of our rights as strong as possible and fight this enemy and make sure that something like this doesn't happen again, and do not do it at the price of any of our personal liberties, because if that happens, then it'll just be worse, and it'll open us up to more devastating things in the future.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's how I feel.
Well,
and I'm just shocked, and you know, I mean, a lot of people died today, and a lot of people died for...
Much more than anybody can imagine.
No.
You were up there, right? I've been up there once.
Yeah, I've been up there several times. The World Trade Center... See, people don't realize this. The World Trade Center is... There are thousands and thousands and thousands of trading offices, you know, businesses dealing everything from legal to financial to whatever.
Yeah.
But the structure itself was one of the engineering marvels of the world.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it was something that when you went to New York City, yeah, you go to the Empire State Building, you go to the World Trade Center, you go up to the observation areas, and you're just in absolute awe that we as human beings can build these beautiful monuments and working structures. I mean, you know, the World Trade Center was a working office building.
Yep.
Where lots of people were going, of all denominations, all kinds, all colors, all languages, were going to work peacefully.
Yeah.
And to see it, to see it this morning, just to be destroyed, and I'm saying to myself, you know, what's the reasoning here? I mean, why? I mean, how could anyone that even claims to have any allegiance to God or Allah or whatever could even conceive of doing anything like this? benefits.
No, and they wouldn't unless they thought they could benefit. And there's nobody who is sane who would even in their wildest dreams think they could benefit from this unless they could blame it on somebody else. And in that manner, benefit.
It's just, for some reason, I don't know what it is, but it's just an act of unimaginable evil.
Yeah, it is.
I feel that the United States has to maintain our liberties, maintain our rights, but has to be strong, look at this in a mature way.
But that's not that's not the official policy of the United States government. The official policy of the United States government doesn't do that, then
this will never end.
Yeah. Well, they'll pretend to do it, but they won't. The official policy of the United States government is to bring about world government. It was the United States government that created the United Nations.
Well, I always thought, I know I'm playing naivety here, but I'm doing this just for conversation.
Yeah, but I know what you're going to say, and I always thought the same thing.
I always thought the United States government was here to protect the people of the United States.
Yeah, that's what I always thought also.
And if they do not protect the people of the United States, and that doesn't mean taking away our liberties.
Yeah.
Because we are a free people, more than capable of protecting our liberty. We're more than capable of doing it.
That's correct.
And we can do it under law, and we can do it and ensure that this kind of thing does not happen.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
What do you feel, how do you feel the U.S. should respond if, when they find out exactly, which they will, who is responsible?
Like I believe they should have responded many, many years ago. For instance, do you believe in your wildest dreams that Fox Television could go and find and sit down with and interview Osama bin Laden, but the vast network of our intelligence community, supported by the billions and billions of dollars in their black projects and their spies and their eavesdropping apparatus, can't ever find him? Yet they always seem to know and leak to the press what he's planning and what he says and what he's doing and where he's going to strike next. Do you believe that? I don't believe it for an instant.
Now, I hear what you're saying. To be honest with you, I don't know why these evil entities, these evil things, I can't call them human beings. I just don't know why these evil people are still in existence. I really don't.
Well, I was going to say I don't either, but that's not true. I do. It's because the vast majority of people are so trusting, so innocent, so ignorant, and in most respects absolutely stupid that they actually fuel these people. They without even realizing it, support these people. Enable them to do what they do because of their ignorance and their stupidity. And as long as the wolf can put on sheep's clothing and get into the flock, he's going to eat the sheep.
Now let me ask you this: do you think that something like this could have happened, say, 10 years ago, maybe 20 years ago?
20 years ago. Let me tell you something: as long as NORAD was in existence and operating in the manner that it was intended to operate, it could not have happened, absolutely could not have happened. But NORAD no longer operates for the purpose that it was created, which was to protect the continental United States, Washington, D.C., and all military targets from attack by any aircraft in the air from whatever source whatsoever, from the command post and the dew line that operated across up in the Arctic to protect us from.
Because my question is,
it could not have happened. That's
my answer. I've studied military and aircraft, surveillance. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm an engineer and I've studied radar.
Well, this wasn't surveillance.
I mean, how could all of these aircraft be flown as literally bombs into major buildings in the United States without being detected and intercepted?
Because, Alan, we don't have any defense anymore. NORAD is no longer dedicated to protecting the continental United States from air attack, which was its original purpose and function. It now monitors all kinds of little aircraft flying around South America and Central America and coming across our border for the purpose, the so-called purpose, of interdiction of drug runners. that's what NORAD does today.
Do you think that's going to change?
I think it better change. If it doesn't change, then we know that nobody wants to prevent this kind of thing. See, if NORAD had been operating for the purpose that it was created, this could never have happened. Those planes would have been shot out of the sky.
Now, yeah, because to be honest with you, that's what's shocking to me. You know, being that I have read military history and I have, from a technical standpoint, I mean, we have this, we're supposed to have this incredible technology and this incredible surveillance of our airspace, you know, mainly by radar.
Yep, we do.
And, I mean, there is definitely time to plot a path from Boston to New York City, damn it, of an aircraft that's been taken over hijacked.
That was supposed to be flying somewhere else.
Right.
And I'm telling you
I'm saying to myself, okay, you know, someone's playing kamikaze with an American, you know, jetliner filled with fuel bound for the West Coast, and how could we not be defended against this?
Well,
when people have been talking about this for eons. I know you've been talking about it.
Yep, we used to be, and we should be, and I'm telling you right now that every radar center, every ground control center in the United States monitors every flight that's in the air.
Absolutely,
and
with precision.
No flight takes off without all of these people knowing where they're supposed to be going.
And there's always a predicted course of where they're going to end up.
Yeah, and so these flights were being monitored from ground control and radar operators all over the United States, and they all knew that these planes had deviated from their flight plan and were not going where they were supposed to go. They all knew that, including NORAD, because every flight over this country is monitored from NORAD, every flight. And when they knew that, they knew that something was wrong, and they did absolutely nothing about it, which means, in my personal estimation, my personal opinion, that they're just as much a part of that terrorist act as the terrorist who did it.
Well, you know, it's scary. Okay, one plane slams into the World Trade Center,
mm-hmm.
which is scary enough as it is.
Yeah.
But then a second one.
Yeah.
Several minutes.
And they were still talking about it could
get through.
Yeah, and they were still talking about it could have been an accident.
I mean, I thought we are able to scramble our jets, our defensive fighter jets, in a moment's notice.
We used to be when NORAD was operating as the North American Air Defense Command. Now they're operating as South American drug interdiction people. They are no longer operating as the North American Air Defense Command. We don't have a defense anymore. We haven't had for a long time. We don't have a strategic air command that can retaliate in case of an atomic attack upon this country. We don't have the means right now today to defend ourselves. When we committed our Air Force and our military forces to the Gulf War or to the attack upon Bosnia, we left ourselves completely without any defense whatsoever. And I'm not the only one who knows this. Communist China knows it. Russia knows it. Every government in the world knows it. I mean, we have just absolutely destroyed our ability to defend ourselves.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, as I said, by the way, we're back on 7415. Ladies and gentlemen, this is WBCQ. We have the hour of the time, which will be running on WBCQ throughout the day and night, as long as Bill can hold up. And Bill and I are just discussing, of course, you know, what's been happening, the attack on the United States, the attack on freedom by some nameless cowards so far.
What do you think about all these people that you hear on C-SPAN and CBS and CNN who want to go and destroy whole countries, and they don't even know who did this?
No, we first have to know thy enemy, and then we can react. You know, we first have to help people that have been slaughtered and senselessly killed in this.
What do you think about these Palestinians who are shown on television celebrating wildly and dancing in the streets and waving their flags? And
I think they're just lost souls, and I think that you know, people have to be very, very, very careful with the mainstream media in not you know, not to have themselves fanned into a fury.
No, I'm glad you said that, because that's the purpose of showing that. That's the purpose.
I mean, showing a group of Bill, you know this. No matter what happens on the world, no matter how heinous it is, you can always find a group of people that will support it.
Yep, I support
it. It doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah, support
it's human nature.
Support be happy about it or celebrate it, even though they themselves might never have done such a thing. It might make them happy if somebody else did.
Absolutely. So seeing images like this to good Americans out there should mean nothing. What should mean something to people is that this nation has been attacked cowardly, ruthlessly, evilessly. I don't know if that's a word, but I can't think of any other words to use.
It doesn't matter. We all understand exactly what you mean.
Freedom has been attacked. Freedom has been attacked. And that is the number one thing.
Yes.
And our liberties are on the line. Our rights are on the line. People have to realize that. We need good, qualified information. We need to know who is responsible, why, and then as a nation. Because remember, we're supposed to govern by, the Republic is supposed to govern.
Yeah.
So we need to sit back and decide what we're going to do, how we're going to retaliate, and as I said before, personally, to make sure that something like this never happens again. Because as we were talking before, ladies and gentlemen, before we got back on 7415, as an engineer, I am absolutely astounded that not one, but two major jetliners were able to smash into a building in this country. One got away with it, fine, but another one was able to do that. You know, we have radar. We're supposed to have the most advanced technological warning systems on the planet. We're supposed to have aircraft that can be scrambled in a moment's notice to protect us. And this hasn't happened, and I'm scared, Bill. I am.
Well, you have a right to be. I'm scared, too, for many different reasons, not just for this, but because, you've been listening to me for years. You know why I'm so concerned about this. Number one, it points out the fact that we don't have a defense anymore. There used to be a defense. Communist China is watching this. They have made no secret of the fact that they would love to rule the world and destroy this country and just, you know, be the kings of the earth. And so have the communists in Russia and what used to be the Soviet Union, which, by the way, hasn't disappeared. It's just waiting there, like a sleeping tiger, waiting to jump up and go at it again. And Vladimir Putin has made this great alliance with China and has been rattling swords at us now. So we're going back toward the Cold War again. And the only answer, truthfully, is for us to join in their efforts to create a one-world totalitarian socialist government that will at some future date, deteriorate into communism, which is their whole goal, which is the goal of Marx, is the goal of socialism. And there are many, many people in power in this country who want to help them bring that about.
Well, I hope and pray that nothing like that ever happens, because all it will do is eventually, because as you know, if you read as a student of history, any totalitarian government or regime or group of people will always fail and eventually destroy itself.
Yeah, not only that, but it will create civil war in this country.
I predicted it for many years. I feel people can prosper anywhere is if they are free.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. Any attempts to enslave or intimidate or foment a tyranny over people ultimately results, it may be hundreds of years, but the ultimate result is revolution. And revolution, if you've ever studied the history of nations and of the world, is the most terrible thing that you can ever contemplate, because there is absolutely no morals or rules or laws or anything, saving grace of any kind during a revolution. It is just a terrible, despicable time. Wars are better than revolutions. Wars between nations that have laws and principles and ideals are much better than revolutions, which have none of those things. And until some kind of order is established, anything can happen. And so those are the most terrible things that you can contemplate, is any kind of revolution, which is why I absolutely oppose such a thing. I do support a restoration, but I absolutely oppose any kind of armed insurrection or revolution of any kind whatsoever by anybody, period.
Well, I hope and pray that we make all the correct decisions in the ensuing days and months ahead. There's one fact that is true. I don't think any American will ever be the same again. There's been an attack on the United States. There's been an attack on freedom. And I think we have to, pull ourselves up by the bootstraps, as they say, mm-hmm. Look at what's going on, make the right decisions to ensure that this republic continues to survive and remains the freest country on earth, which it is, and that the evils that have been committed today are punished and prevented from ever happening again. That's what I hope and pray for.
I'm going to make a prediction, Alan, and you know my record on predictions. I'm going to predict that within 72 hours, the United States launches a major attack against not one, not two, but probably three different countries in the Middle East, which they, I believe, will blame this series of attacks on, whether they were involved or not.
Well, I don't know, Bill. As I said, I hope and pray that we make the right decisions. And if we start attacking people that did not have any responsibility, or then we'd be no better. We would be no better than what has happened to us.
That's true.
So I am praying that our president and our leaders are. It is astounding to me that in this gigantic intelligence community that even something like this could have even got on the drawing board. But you can't finger point. A lot of people are dying right now as we speak because of this.
Yeah. I guarantee you that...
I hope we make the right decisions, and I hope that...
When those buildings collapsed, 10,000 people died.
I know.
Minimum. And
and it will be months before they even can get into digging into a lot of it. Because...
Yeah. Can you imagine how terrible it must have been to be up there on the top floors, and how hot the flames must have been for people to actually leap voluntarily out of the windows from the top of the towers of the World Trade Center buildings?
I know.
I mean, that alone makes it very hard for me to breathe.
I know. Well, we're all sick. I mean, I'm sick to my stomach. And I think we all should be, and we all should be praying and feeling love and compassion for those who have given their lives, because we stand up to these totalitarian menaces, because we try to be Americans, and we try to cherish liberty and everything else. And I mean, it's just sad. I mean, as I said, I hope we make the right decisions. I hope we use our technology and our quote intelligence to exactly find out who is responsible and take the appropriate measures. Anything less would just be an abomination against those people who have died, those people who are dying, and those people that will be dying in the coming days. Because a lot of people, one thing they haven't mentioned, a lot of people that have been poisoned by the smoke, the dust, the asbestos in the air, the electrical insulation. I know what these smells are like because I've been in it.
Yeah, that
there
will...
are people that are walking wounded now. They might they'll be sick for a long time. Many of them will perish from the inhalation of these horrible things. I mean, I've seen the images from New York. It looks like the pictures I've seen of the Blitz bombings of London, but worse.
Yeah.
I mean, it's horrible, and I know and I pray that America will make the right decisions and will ensure that nothing like this will ever happen again.
Now, well, be careful when you say that, because you might activate Congress to legislate draconian laws to try to make sure that it doesn't.
No, punishing American citizens by taking away our freedoms is not the answer.
No, but that's
finding out who is responsible.
That's going to be
and
one.
And bringing them to justice is.
Yeah, but that's going to be one of the proposals, and I mean just one. There's going to be a whole lot of proposals in Congress and in the executive branch. There's going to be executive orders. There's going to be some laws introduced, whether they'll be passed or not, I don't know, that are going to be designed to take our freedoms away to prevent somebody from doing these kinds of things, and we're going to suffer for it when we didn't have anything to do with it.
No, that's not the answer. You know, that's always the gut reaction. It's like what happens when somebody gets shot with a gun. They immediately try to take all the guns away, and that's impossible. And the major fact is the guns didn't kill anybody. It's the people behind them.
Yeah, and if
you have to find out why these people do it.
Right.
And then you have to find out, you know, you have to, as the old saying goes, you have to nip it in the bud before it happens.
And let me ask you this, Alan, and I'm being very sincere. If you think I really wanted to kill you, if you think I didn't have a gun, do you think that would stop me?
No, of course not.
No.
You can kill people. You can pick up a hammer and kill somebody.
Yeah. If I really wanted to kill somebody, I would kill them, and I wouldn't need a gun. You could take all the guns in the world away. If I really wanted to kill somebody, I guarantee you, because of my personal makeup and my dedication to do what I set my mind to do, the person's dead. Period. Doesn't matter how I do it.
No,
and I wouldn't need a gun.
No, don't punish the American people by taking their freedoms away.
Yeah.
Don't punish the American people by making it more difficult for us to travel, for us to exchange information, for us to speak freely. Don't do that. We are not to be punished. We need to find out who's responsible and stop them. Honestly, Bill, it goes back to when this happened. When Tim Tron called me up and said, because I got about 9 o'clock or 9:30 or so, and he said, "Turn on the television." When I saw this, I was horrified, but I was not surprised.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I know that millions and millions of other people, and people in government and people in security, are also scratching their heads now and saying they're not surprised.
Yeah.
And that is the tragedy.
Yeah, it
they're
is.
Not surprised that this didn't happen, they're not surprised that this has happened. And now the question is, okay, we're vulnerable. We've been attacked. It's a state of war. What are we going to do?
And again,
punishing the American people by limiting their freedoms and what this very country was founded on is not the answer.
But let me make another prediction, too. There's going to be no open airport and no air travel in this country for at least several days because they don't know how many of these people were sent into this country, are originated in this country, who are pilots whose job is to get on a commercial airline, hijack it, take over the plane, and crash into an American target. Do you realize the dilemma facing the people who are going to make the decision as to when they're going to open the airports and allow planes to fly?
I know. It's scary.
It's terrifying.
It's terrifying. It is. It's terrifying. But that's what terrorism, unfortunately, is about. And I feel people, we need to be cautious. We need to be careful.
Yeah, but there's a lot of things people haven't thought about. Let me ask you something else. With the security that we all know exists in all of our airports, how did these people get on airplanes with weapons?
I don't know. It's astounding. And it was done in four instances, all simultaneous.
Can you imagine that maybe in the future, to get on an airplane, you might have to submit to a strip search?
Yeah, but you know, Bill, the thing is, one thing I do know is just the... It really is a question of volume. We have, like, an incredible number of flights going in and out of the United States and within the United States, thousands per day.
Yeah.
Plus, there are millions of people traveling in and out of airports.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you can't strip search each and every one of them. I mean, there's always a way to, unfortunately, slip a monkey wrench into the works.
The only way that I can imagine... with the security that I absolutely know exists in every airport in this country, that they could have gotten on those aircraft with weapons is if those weapons came out of body cavities. There just isn't any other way.
You know, but
you have to walk through
it's
metal.
Like anything, if there's a way to circumvent something, people generally can figure out a way to do it. And
yeah,
it's because of the number of passengers and the number of it's just the sheer volume.
Well, what about if they determine that they're going to strip search every 10th person?
Still, that I don't think personally, you know, from a logistics standpoint, I don't think that would guarantee.
No, but
that this would never happen again. I think the only way to guarantee that this would never happen again is to find the people who are responsible and the organizations or governments or whatever that are responsible and, you know, bring them to justice. I mean,
but, Alan, that's not going to be what it's all about. It's going to be like the aftermath of the Oklahoma City bombing.
Well, if that's not what it's all about, then this will never end.
It's never going to end. I've told you that, and I've told the whole world that a long time ago. Hold on.
Okay.
Who is it? Okay, come in the front door. I'll be right there. It's Doyle. I got to go. I'm going to put on the thing. Sorry, Alan.
All right, Bill. Be well.
Thanks so much.
Bye.
Time yet, but C-SPAN will be bringing you live coverage of that. And at 7 p.m. this evening, there will be a joint leadership news conference of the Congress, the House, and the Senate on the east front of the Capitol, and we hope to be bringing you that in...
Well, folks, I don't know about you, but when I heard the loud pounding on the door, my heart, made a jump, and I reached over for my Mac 90 and was prepared to do battle. But it was my good friend, my brother Doyle. You all know Doyle if you've been listening to this broadcast for a long time. And Doyle's here, and I'm going to just give him the microphone, let him tell you, you know, how he heard about all this and what he thinks about it and how he's been going through the day with this, you know, hanging over our heads. So I'll just give you another perspective. Doyle is my best friend. He's my brother. He's somebody that absolutely 100% dependable and reliable and wonderful and good and all those kinds of things. So you heard from Alan Weiner. You've heard from some callers. We're into 1, 2, 3, 4. We're into our fifth hour, the second half of the fifth hour of the broadcast since we came on the air on WBCQ to do the news today. So I'm going to turn this over to Doyle, and I'm going to go take a little break. So this is Doyle Chamley, folks, and, you got my introduction. You know who he is. Here's your headphones.
All righty.
So just, yeah, I'll bring you some more.
Thanks. Get my glasses off.
Okay.
Hello. Well, how did I find out about it? First thing this morning, Bill informed me about the news broadcast, so I immediately turned it on, and I was quite amazed at what I was seeing, and at the same time, I still had to get along with my daily business, so I took off, headed off into town. Now, we're talking a small rural town, by the way, where I would think, without any insult to anybody, I would think that the people would be a little calmer. Well, not so. I had to go by the physician's office to pick up a piece of paper he had to sign for some insurance type deals. And lo and behold, here's a lady calling her other half, I assume. Because the reason I say that is because I didn't hear both sides of the conversation at the same time, though I was waiting in line because I wasn't getting helped. And she called the other half and she asked him to go get the children from school because we were going to be under a terrorist attack at the school ground. Thank you. Now, I felt this is very uncalled for. Number one, she's a professional, so everybody in the office is looking up to her. And number two, it creates hysteria. Now, we already once messed up big time and put the Japanese in war camps. So we don't need to be starting that stuff again. She, right there, stirred up a whole hysteria. People were leaving the office, going out to their minivans, their trucks and whatnot, getting on the cell phone, trying to get hold of the other half to go pick up the children, as she was, because we were all going to come under a terrorist attack. Then, the other thing I heard, I went around town, and just trying to help, I wanted to make sure that as many people as possible knew what was going on actively. So I went by the different medical offices, the post office, the bank, city hall, whatnot. Make sure they had a radio on, anything, in any way to keep in contact with what was actively going on at the time. I started hearing comments. For instance, at Circle K, a lady said, "Well, I think we should just go and kill them all." I said, "Well, who's going to kill them?" "Well, the military." So I said, "Well, have you ever been in the military?" She said, "No." I said, "Do you have any children in the military?" "No." I said, "Well, that's real convenient for you to say, having never served and have no family members that may get killed in the outcome." Then, going around town, I started hearing all the, well, basically, it must be the ragheads, or must be this, or must be that. Everything that I have heard today is based on race, and it is pitiful. Okay? We don't need to get in hysteria. If there is a certain country at fault, that's fine. But there are certain people that did it. It's not one race, not one creed, not one religion that did it. And it's absolutely sickening to walk around town or drive around town and stop at various places and find people saying, "Well, we ought to kill all the ragheads," or "It's got to be this," or "It's got to be that." I've heard everybody blame known to man. Africans, Afghanistans. This is sickening. Hopefully, and I kind of doubt it, American people are smart enough to make a rational judgment. And I highly doubt the government is intelligent enough to do it. But I would hope that everybody would just get together, find who is at fault, and not a certain race or creed or country or whatever, and make the right decision. Because it's disgusting. And being in a town of maybe 3,000-4,000, I'm not sure exactly, maybe 7,000, I don't know. I can't imagine what's being said in larger cities or more race-diversified cities. So I hope everybody keeps their head on their shoulders, and that's about all I can say.
Thank you, Doyle. Now you know why I love this man. And thanks for the lunch.
Ain't no problem.
I will...
No, I'll go in and chomp down on it. Doyle brought me lunch. That's what we're talking about. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. This is Steve from Northern Maine. I just talked to Brigadier General Ben Parton.
Hi.
And Ben says that indeed planes loaded with jet fuel could create enough heat to destroy those very strong girders up high, and if one of several floors go, that it would have a domino effect. And in fact, what you have seen could have happened just the way it appeared to have happened.
Negative. No way.
Well, Ben Pardon's a 31-year expert.
He may be, but I've talked to architects. I've talked to explosives experts. It absolutely could not have happened. If it did happen, it would have only brought down the floors above the area where the plane crashed. It would not have ever resulted in the entire building imploding upon itself.
Any chance I could get Ben to talk to the people you're talking to so we can get that straightened out?
Well, I think Ben already knows it. I've talked to Ben before. In fact, we discussed this very subject after the Oklahoma City bombing.
So you don't...
Talked to him, published his paper, No.
So you don't put any credence on what he's saying? Or?
How in the world... Now listen to me very carefully. If an airplane crashes in the top quarter of a skyscraper, which has been architecturally engineered for the stress and the strength that it takes to withstand an airplane crash, because they expect airplanes to crash sometimes into skyscrapers, how in the world would the destruction of the integrity of that floor of the building cause the building to fall in upon itself all the way to the ground? What it would cause would be the upper stories to fall in on that floor, period.
Yeah, I mean, both, when I listen to you, it sounds logical. When I listen to Mr. Pardon, it sounds logical. But, you know, he's the one fella that I'm aware of who did the most of anybody to show us that Oklahoma City was a lie.
Yeah, but you also understand that he was a general officer in the United States Air Force.
Not at the time. He's retired.
Yeah.
But anyway, I just...
I wasn't in the Navy at the time either, but at the time I was in the Navy and had access to Majesty 12 and Operation Majority, General Ben Parton was in the Air Force and had access to the same documents.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well...
You understand what I'm saying?
Well, I need... But
I'm telling you,
patriot community, and I put both of you in the same community.
No, you can't. Any general officer or admiral in the military of the United States of America has had access to those documents. They know what the plan is. They know we're going into world government. Every single one of them.
Oh, and he talks about that, and he's opposed to it too. All I'm saying to you.
Well, that's funny.
It'd be nice if we could get.
Funny that he's opposed to it when he's retired, but he didn't say a word while he was on active duty service and knew everything about it and served the interests of world government.
Understand? Well, you're the first person in the patriot community who has said that Ben Parton is not trustworthy, and those are the types of things I need to know.
Do you understand the Hegelian dialectic?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
I've written a paper on it.
Then you understand exactly what I'm talking about.
So
Ben
you
Parton knows exactly what the official policy of the United States government is. He served as a general officer in the United States Air Force. Okay? He served the agenda of the New World Order, and while he was on active duty, never said a word against it, never warned the American people, nothing.
Good point.
He said about the Alfred P. Muir building is absolutely true.
Okay.
But what he's saying about the World Trade Center is not true.
Is there any chance, can you give me a name off the air or somebody I can talk to? I'd like to talk to an architectural engineer who would be able to give me some light on this.
Well, what you need to do is find an architectural engineer that designs, as I have spoken to, Skyrise.
Okay.
Not Skyrise, but...
You know what I'm talking about. I'll find them.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Find them, talk to them, and they'll tell you
that
they know, and it's happened in the past, and they designed these buildings to withstand crashes of airplanes, including up to Boeing 747 size.
Well, it from a layman, that certainly makes sense to me.
Absolutely.
Okay, brother. Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
520-333-4578 is the number. I hate to bust your bubble, folks, but you got to understand one thing. There is nobody that serves in any military force in this country, period, at the rank of colonel or above, who is not serving the agenda of the New World Order. Period. I don't care who they are. I don't care what they're saying after they retire. I don't care what they pretend to be. It's the truth. There's no way that they could have a New World Order. There's no way that the things could have happened in this country. There's no way that they could assign our forces to serve under the United Nations command, under foreign military command, unless those general officers and admirals were completely in line with the New World Order agenda. You better understand that. The military has been politicized. It's no longer an organization pledged to protect and defend the Constitution for the United States of America. It's a political organization serving the agenda of the New World Order. And that's the truth.
Building falling to the ground. It is very difficult to imagine anything.
I'm going to eat lunch now.
It all in this complex of seven buildings. If you think back to the Canary Wharf bombing in the Docklands of London, for example, it was one bomb. One imagines that most of the damage was superficial, if you like, not to the structures themselves, to glass, to furniture. Looking at that scene this morning here in New York, it's hard to imagine anything surviving those two explosions.
Can there be any kind of rescue operation here, given what's happened?
I can't imagine that there will be any kind of rescue operation. It's absolutely impossible to estimate the kinds of numbers under that kind of debris. 50,000 people, as I say, work in those buildings. But one of the problems, it seems to me, and I was just alluding to it, is that the emergency services got there rapidly. There were hundreds of ambulances and fire trucks very, very quickly there. People assumed that the thing was contained. People assumed that there was a series of explosions quite high up in the buildings and realized quite late, if you like, that actually the thing wasn't contained and the engineering couldn't cope with the force of those blows. So there will be high casualties from the initial attacks, but there may well be casualties from later. I don't know if the lifts were working or not, but I imagine there would have been people who simply couldn't have got down those 110 stories after the attacks. So, as I say, the authorities are now very, very wary indeed. They have structures barely standing amongst the four that are now remaining. So I would imagine that they're standing back and trying to make engineering assessments of what can be done. Meanwhile, in the rest of the city, there is an eerie calm here. I'm on Times Square. It's normally one of the busiest parts of this city. You can see it now. There's virtually nobody there. It's normally blasted with adverts. They've, by and large, been turned off. That's partly because the city's been closed so that ambulances can get from the World Trade Center to hospitals, but it's also because people have simply gone home. There wasn't panic when those bombs went up. People were very orderly. There was fear in their voices. Their eyes were getting moist, but people weren't really screaming like you think they might have been screaming. But they've now had, 9.5 hours to think about this thing, and these things do take time to actually sink into your brain. There's a bit of anger about. The American networks are talking about, they're using captions like "the attack on America." They're using the words Pearl Harbor quite a lot. They're talking about incidents galvanizing action.
Okay, Stephen Evans in New York, thank you very much indeed. We're joined now as well by Tom Carver in Washington. Tom, what have you been hearing from the American government just in the last hour or so?
Let me tell you what's happening is that George Bush is due to be flying back here, will arrive back here, we assume, within the hour. He's been at an Air Force base in Nebraska where he's been convening an emergency meeting of the National Security Council by phone. His Vice President Dick Cheney is down in what they call the Situation Room underneath the White House with Condoleezza Rice, the National Security Advisor. A number of steps have been taken. The borders of America have been sealed off. The National Guard has been alerted and activated in certain places. And around the world, American forces have been put on the highest form of alert. Later tonight, once George Bush gets back here, he will be making a television address to the nation to obviously try to restore calm and confidence in government. In these moments,
ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the voice of BBC.
Turn to the president.
Right.
Congress seems almost irrelevant and indeed has been evacuated.
Tom, we can see, we're just watching pictures now of the damage to the Pentagon. Are you clear as to the extent of that?
No, I'm not. No, I don't think anyone is. You may be able to see behind me that the smoke is still burning as I speak from the Pentagon. There's a full-scale emergency going on just across the river there where firemen are trying to dig out the dead and the wounded from the Pentagon. Basically, we understand what happened was that the plane slammed right into the base of one side of the Pentagon and brought all six stories of that side of the building down. There are a number of very senior naval officials based in that area. We don't know as to the casualties, but obviously it's going to be quite a few.
Tom Carver in Washington, thanks very much indeed. We're now joined by Orla Gurin in Jerusalem. Orla, there significantly hasn't been universal condemnation of this attack in the Middle East, has there?
Well, the reaction has varied from country to country. We have had condemnation from countries like Syria and also from Iran, although in Iraq, joyous music has been played on state television. I suppose the response that most people have been keen to see is what came from the Palestinians. Now, we had what appeared to be a very genuine statement from a seemingly very shocked Palestinian leader, Yasser Arafat. He appeared to be just as stunned by these events as all the rest of us. And he said that he was deeply saddened that it was completely unacceptable, and he offered the sympathy of the Palestinian people. We had various militant Islamic groups, Palestinian groups, rushing forward to say that they were not involved, to deny any kind of connection, although they also did argue that in effect the United States was reaping what it had sown, that it was paying the price for its own policies here in the Middle East, which had caused so much anger. We also did have some limited scenes of celebration, quite shocking scenes in a way, but they were quite small scale. We had some people out on the streets in the West Bank town of Nablus and some here in Jerusalem. But to put that in its context, this was limited. It was not spontaneous mass rejoicing across the West Bank and Gaza. Most Palestinians appear to have been in their homes, glued to their television sets, just like most people everywhere, watching these events unfold with horror. And I think that very many Palestinians will be hoping...
Did you hear that, folks? The BBC told the truth. The American press is showing a handful of people who rushed out on the street and rejoiced and celebrated, making or trying to make the entire nation believe that all Palestinians approved. And the truth was just told on BBC. It's not true.
Schroeder in Germany, and he's just been talking to Vladimir Putin in Russia. The idea being to try and coordinate some kind of international response to this kind of terrorist outrage to ensure that it doesn't happen again. Earlier this evening, he was also chairing a COBRA meeting, which is the kind of contingency planning meeting of senior ministers to look at all the different measures that need to be taken in this country in terms of responding to what happened in the United States. And after that meeting, he emerged and made this statement from within Downing Street.
This is not a battle between the United States of America and terrorism, but between the free and democratic world and terrorism. We therefore here in Britain stand shoulder to shoulder with our American friends in this hour of tragedy, and we, like them, will not rest until this evil is driven from our world.
Now, after that very strong statement of support for the United States, he also outlined a number of measures which are going to be taken in this country. He said that security was going to be stepped up at every level. No flights would...
Regardless of what